Blog Talk Radio.
It's your girl, Diva Mary Kay. You are now live on Spiritual Feeding. You're now tuning in live to Diva Spot Radio, ENT. Today is December the 10th. It's Friday, y'all. TGIF is Friday. Thank God it's Friday, man. But what's more important than today, that today being the day that the Lord has made? Yo, we getting it in today with the Spiritual Feeding, friend or foe. Are you a friend? Are you a foe of the Lord or anything spiritual? Like, we definitely going to get into that. Shout out to the 954, the 973. Oh, the 973, Brick City, live in the building. What's going on, y'all? Y'all getting y'all spiritual feeding on over there. I know it's about lunchtime, and I'm hungry, but I have to feed the spirit first. It's very, very important. For those who are tuning in live online with me, shout out to everybody in the chat room. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DivaSpotENT, because this is how we get it in. I came up, or I decided to do the topic, friend or foe. Because a lot of people be saying, oh, God knows my heart, God know I love him, God know his heart, God know this, God know that. But at the end of the day, everybody say, I love the Lord. You know, the Lord is ahead of my life. And that's a lie, y'all. And I'm not pointing no fingers, because there's always three fingers pointing right back at me. But I'm saying this to say that so many times had this divided heart situation or this justified situation. We justify the things that we do. I'm going to have to repent for my sins. And I think we think it's repenting is a get-out-of-jail-free card. Like, just because you repent don't mean, you know, God is going to forgive you. Yes, he's a forgiving God. But I think that we take advantage of that, y'all, that we know the Lord is going to forgive us. And I had a situation, and I definitely want to share this with y'all. I had, and it was hurtful, too, and I see it in my son. But I had a situation. Oh, excuse me. Today's scripture comes from John 15:9-12. Y'all got to check this out. Deeper than ooh, baby, baby. Now it goes like this. It says, as the Father have loved me, so I love you. So I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. A lot of us is caught out there, man. We having these issues with people, and we like, man, I can't love them. But I had a situation, it was a lady, you know, that I had passed throughout my daily activities, but she was crying. She was crying when I came upon her, and her legs, they were swollen, and it was really throbbing. I knew they had to be surely throbbing. And, you know, I had no idea how far she had came, but her tears, they moved me. The tears that she was crying, they really moved me. Now, I have been fooled by some false tears before. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, this one, it seemed real. She was a homeless woman. You know, I doubled back to hear what she was saying. I doubled back to hear what this homeless woman was saying, because when I came upon her, she was crying. And you know how people out there, they be running game and they homeless or whatever the case may be. But this one, you know, it was real. I doubled back to hear what she was saying because she was mumbling something. You know, her words was a whisper in sync with her tears falling. You know, she was mumbling, I need to go home. Please, can somebody give me $1.50 to get home? I just want to go home, please. She kept saying that, like, I just want to get home. Can somebody give me $1.50 to go home? And I thought in my head, like, what is $1.50 really going to do for her? Like, do she live a couple of blocks away? Or is she getting on the bus? How she get on the bus with that big cart that she pushing? But I gave her, you know, I gave her more than what she asked for. She asked for $1.50. I gave her $5. And at that time, it was all that I had. It wasn't much. But in the lean times, every penny is precious, y'all. In troubled times, every pennies are precious. You know, she quietly thanked me. She got up real slow. Her feet were swollen. When I say swollen, y'all, they were swollen. Her ankles was, too. She got up slowly, and, you know, she pushed her cart towards the bus stop. You know, my dinner plans had suddenly changed right then and there. You know, when I had at home, I stopped thanking God, you know, for reminding me that, you know, I am my sister's keeper. I am my brother's keeper. A lot of times, you know, God sent a test like that sometimes. We see people out there begging on the streets, sister, can you help me out? I'm hungry or whatever the case may be. And sister, can you help me out? You know, I just want to get home, such and such and such. And you're like, man, I ain't got no money. Get off this corner from begging. Knock it off. But a lot of us don't know that it may be a test, y'all. God may be testing you to see if you're really a friend or a foe. You got to think about that. It's the reason why if every time you go out or you go downtown and you go about shopping or whatever into the city and somebody is begging you, it may be a test. You thinking to yourself, like, am I a beggar magnet? What is this? And you get aggravated because you see this person down and out. They pushing the cart. They homeless. And instantly you think, oh, they just smoked up and drunk up their money to get to where they was at. But John 15:9-12 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I have been homeless. I haven't been on the street, but I've been in a shelter. And there was plenty of people who was willing to extend and out their arms and their hands to help me. I'm so thankful that it hadn't got to the point that I was on the street with my son pushing a cart, swollen feet, hungry, begging for $1.50. We got to go a little bit deeper sometimes, y'all, in some of the things that we do. Before you catch your attitude with somebody, first of all, remove your attitude and get some gratitude that you ain't them. And if you got it in your pocket, I don't even care if you got... it's been times that I had a dollar in my pocket and gave my last dollar. God want to know if you a friend or a foe of him. When you down and out and when you need some help, and it don't even have to be financially. It don't have to be you out of your home, but your spirit, your soul, your feelings, the grief, the pain, the heartache. Don't you call for help? Don't you need somebody to help you? So help the less fortunate, y'all. It's so important. I think that, a lot of times we be in a position of our own. And we like, you know what, I'm good. I got this. I'm all right where I'm at. I'm good where I'm at. You know, I can't afford to give no money or a couple of dollars to a grown person, a grown man, a grown woman. They ain't going to do nothing but drink and smoke it up anyway. I got kids at the house. But you would take that same $1.50 and go buy some Lucy's, some chips, a Dutch, a little drink, something that has nothing to do with nothing. And you may think that you giving them that little $1.50 and pennies count, yo. Pennies so count. When you ain't got it, and you out on your, you out and about, you never know how them people got there. They probably could have got there from losing their jobs, drug addiction, women, domestic violence. But they not just homeless. They not just down on their luck or homeless. Think about the whole emotional and whole pride aspect of things. They lost themselves. You got to really lose yourself to be eating out of garbages, man. You got to really lose yourself to be pushing a cart with stuff that really is, you know, it's valuable to them, but walking for miles and miles and miles. And it's a cruel world being homeless on them streets. You got to think about them getting robbed, getting jumped just because they're homeless, just because they consider them bums. Are they a bum? We should pay no attention to them. And then we found our faces up, and when they try to reach out to us or talk to us or whatever, I know the smell is horrendous. I know. I mean, going back and forth through Jersey and New York, I done seen some homeless people. But I extend the help to them, and if I give them something, I stop and I pray. I be like, no problem, brother or sister. You hungry? Well, come on in here. Come on. You hungry? Well, come on in here, and I'll buy you something from McDonald's. It's always a McDonald's in the area, too. I just thought about that. For me. I seen this one lady downtown with her kids. Well, her son, he had to be every bit of 12, 11. He was pissed. He was mad that his mother was out there begging. She was like, I'm trying to get some food for my kids or whatever the case may be. I'm like, all right, no problem. You know, come on in this McDonald's, you know what I'm saying, and I'll help you out. And her thing was, oh, you know, I really wanted to get some money, so, you know, we want McDonald's. I said to her, love, beggars can't be choosy. But at the same time, if them kids is hungry, I'll feed you and them kids. You know what she told me? She said, that's all right. That's one particular situation. Another particular situation, it was a girl. And for, I got opinions open on the line. I'm about to get to you, 530, in 1 minute. It was this girl downtown Newark. I was standing in front of the 99 cent store. She was had her baby in the stroller, and she was out there. Her husband, she was like, you know, we just came from Philly. I'm just trying to get a couple of things. I live right down here in the YMCA at the women's shelter. I'm just trying to get a couple of dollars to get us some food or whatever the case may be and a couple of things for the baby. I took that girl in that 99 cent store, and I made a 99 cent ring. It was my heart. I bought that baby Pampers. I got him new T-shirts and stuff. I have food stamps. I had a little money. Why wouldn't I? I wasn't going to do, probably going to do nothing, go buy some more junk food or something that's going to put some more fat on me. But I definitely want to get your opinion on this. If you are you a friend or a foe, man? Call in at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521 and press the 1 button so you can speak to the host. I'm going to go to the hotlines to open the line up for 973-530. It's your girl Diva Mary Kay. You want to speak your name and where you're calling from?
What's up? My name is Keela, and I'm calling from Washington State. I heard you talking about the person that, you know, the homeless people. It was something actually new, probably like probably beginning of this year or in the last year, when a guy in New York City, the homeless guy in New York City, where it was a woman getting robbed, and he stopped the robber, took the pocketbook back, and gave it back to the woman. But in the process, the man that tried to rob the woman stabbed the homeless man up. Mm. And now this homeless man that helped the woman, now he's laying on the side of the, he's laying on a sidewalk. He's just laying there bleeding. And people walked past his man and just looked at him. Then the help, then, you know, just kept walking by him. Until about the next day, a day later, somebody, you know, saw him and, you know, asked him, he's okay, and this man was dead. And they got all this on because it's a store right there. It's just crazy. Like, you know, even though you couldn't see the blood because he was bleeding internally, but at the same fact, we just give up, you know, we just look past, like, we walk past him, and he's laying in the middle of the sidewalk. People, and it's messed up because people think that's normal. People think that, you know, homeless people are supposed to lay in the middle of the sidewalk, your homeless people are supposed to beg. But not knowing what this man did to this woman last night, you know what I mean? And it's just sad because people don't take consideration things like that, and they don't. And in New York City, like, how many people walk in New York City every day, even at 1 o'clock in the morning, and on a busy, like, it was just crazy. And I heard you talking about it. And I just wanted to bring that point up and say that it's real cool. The world's real cool. Like, if you see somebody that need help, even if you got your last penny, your last dime, give it to them. It's not hard. Like, you know, you God, I don't know the scripture, Abby, but I'm pretty sure you do when he says, what did he say? Basically, in a summary.
The scripture was John 15 and 9 and 12. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Right.
Amen to that.
I pointed that up because it was crazy. You said the homeless people, and I thought about it when I was driving home. We just like, oh, yeah, well, let me call in, and, you know. But, yeah, that was really it.
I thank you for calling in and giving your opinion, and that is super, super duper crazy. Look at that, y'all. This lady was getting robbed. A homeless man came to her defense, fought the dude off, got stabbed in the process, took her pocketbook and gave it back to her, and he laid and died in the street. He sacrificed himself to help somebody else, and he laid and died in the street. That lady could have, I mean, she probably was in a panic or in a, I don't know what was going on with her, but, you know, she probably just ran off or whatever the case may be, and he died the next day. That man laid on that New York block. And the streets is always flooded. The New York block, they lay in it. And I guess the stores, or somebody was like, this is causing a nuisance or a disturbance. You all right? Did they just think he was drunk or he was high? He was passed out, and that man was dead, y'all. Be clear when you not walk past another homeless person. You need to see your face and they face. I was riding with my sister, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was cold to death. And it was this man, you know how you get off the highway and you go and you come off the highway, you getting off the ramp to go into the city now. And it was this man standing, you know, where you get off the ramp at, and he had this sign, you know, and he basically said that he was homeless or he needed some food or whatever. But he was a veteran. There it is. Mm-hmm. He was a veteran.
And as a lot of people understand, a lot of these veterans out here, And back in the day, like in, you know, World War I and the Civil War, they didn't get the same benefits that soldiers nowadays get. You know, they didn't get like housing and stuff like that. So after they left the military, you know, after they were discharged or whatever the case may be, they had nothing. They had nothing. And you'll see a lot of, like, around here next to military installations, you'll see a lot of homeless veterans. You'll see a lot of them. And it's sad because these people that served their country, that saw they battle buddies and their friends die right next to them, serving their country, that's not even helping them. And, yeah, it's the truth. It's sad, but it's the truth. But go ahead.
It's definitely sad, but it's true. But when we rolled up on the men, you know, instantly I'm digging in my pocketbook. And she see me. She know what I'm doing. She like, all right, Ev about to get this man some money or whatever. And I really didn't have a lot of money. I'm talking about I was scraping up pennies and stuff and quarters and everything is at the bottom of my wallet or whatever, everything that I had on me at that time. And, you know, my son was in the car and he was like, Mommy, you going to help him? I said, Honey, I'm going to try to help as much as I can. So we gave him the money. We were sitting at the light, and my sister was like, how you doing today? You ain't got to come up to them like you feel. Treat them like a human, y'all. She was like, how you doing today? He was like, I'm all right, you know, just out here trying to get some money. God bless you, you know, and, you know, I have a lot of cats at my house, and, you know, they got to eat, and, you know, I got a place to stay and whatnot, but, you know, it's just a lot of people abandoning the cats, and the cats, they don't deserve it. They kick them out. They ain't got nowhere to go, and he was, I think he said he got about 9 cats, but this man was standing out in the cold to get money because he was worried about the cats. Those was his family. He wasn't homeless, but he was with a sign. I'm talking about it was freezing cold. So she asked him, she said, this was right before Thanksgiving. She was like, what you doing for Thanksgiving? He was like, oh, I got a house. You know, I'm definitely going to be doing something. I'm going to go down to the soup kitchen or something like that. He already had made plans and reservations with what he was going to do. But what I'm telling you the story is, this man was standing outside in the cold. He was a veteran, man. He had a house or whatever, but he was more concerned about feeding his cats. He was shivering as he was talking. But when we pulled off, I started to pray over him. And after I was finished praying, my son started to pray over him. He 8 years old. Prayer changes things, y'all. It's so important that we remember that. It's so important that we get real with the situation because that's what I'm saying. Are you a friend of the foe of the Lord? Call me up at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521 and press the 1 button. I definitely want to get y'all opinion on this about the whole friend of foe situation and with the homeless situation. You know, just because you see somebody homeless don't mean that they just got there. I mean, usually by choice, and it ain't get there by accident. But still at the same time, you got to extend. If somebody is coming up to you asking you for some help, help them. Because when you need help, you want somebody to help you too. Don't be selfish because God is able to do all things. Welcome back, welcome back, you guys. God is able to do all things. You're now tuned in live to Diva Spot Radio, ENT. We getting our spiritual feeding on today. And are you a friend or a foe to the Lord? I have to ask you, are you a friend or a foe to the Lord? I know y'all like, what is Ebony talking about? I'm talking about the homeless on today, y'all. I had a situation where I came upon this young lady. Her feet were swollen. She was crying. She just kept saying, you know, can anybody help me with $1.50? I just want to go home. She kept saying she just want to go home, but she was crying. Like, her tears was in sync with what she was saying. Like, every time she said, I want to go home, her tears got deeper. And I've been fooled by a lot of tears. You know, a lot of people that ran down. I used to live in Newark, New Jersey, and I'm all over New York, so I know what game is, you know. And you'd have some people that I know this one man, he was saying that he was at Home Depot. Somebody was telling me this story. It's not my story. But he was saying that his car broke down and he needed some money. He got the baby or whatever the case may be, but he had the stroller outside the store. So why would you have a stroller outside Home Depot like that? So the story was already suspect. So he was like, well, where's your wife and kids? You said they was outside. You know, well, where they at? And he was like, he taking them to the car. He was like, well, take me to the car. Where they at or whatever the case may be. Man, it was a no car, first and foremost. There was no car, there was no kids, and he had an empty stroller. He had just a lot of stuff in it. And then when the person called him in a lie, he like, all right, man, you know, obviously there's no wife and kids and no baby, whatever, but could you help me out with a couple of dollars anyway? Like, are you serious? I mean, instead of him going through all that, he probably could have kept it real with old boy. Because the dude, he's a very giving person. But, you know, a lot of times we get so caught up in people trying to run game that we can't really see what's real. And it's sad. It's sad that it's that way. You know, and unfortunately people do be kicking game. And it makes it bad on the people who really need help. The people who really going to be there, the people who really homeless and hungry. And there's a lot of soup kitchens available. I encourage y'all on today to get involved with y'all community. Get involved with the stuff that's going on with the community. It's very, very important. At your church, at the soup kitchens, you know, just go above and beyond. Because it's at least 1,000 homeless people die each and every year, and it's the winter season, and it's so hard for them. It's so hard for them. The shelters are overcrowded. There's no places to go, even with the abandoned houses. They still at risk. They still in danger. Just because they got an abandoned house to live in don't mean that they sleeping well. It's hard for them. It's dangerous. People could come in there, rob them, kill them, steal them, rape them. And the conditions of living in an abandoned house ain't cool, y'all. The toilets is all backed up. There's no water in the toilets. The feces is turning to ammonia. They inhaling this. So the next time a homeless person or somebody that's not doing well, or even if they got a drug addiction, they come up and ask you for some money, you'd be like, I can offer you some help. If you really, do you have a place to stay? Do you have something to eat? Because I can help you in that way and offer them some services. Even if you go down there with them, go above and beyond. You wasn't doing nothing but going over there. They ain't Craig house anyway. They ain't Craig going to be there. They got a house. But I encourage y'all on today to help the homeless because you could be them. You can be in the position. You can be homeless. I think we think, you know, we so caught up in, we just so caught up in the worldly things, like we think nothing is going to happen to us or with us. we think that life is just some type of a peachy cream situation because we're doing all right. But heartbreak can make you, can get you to a homeless point. Heartbreak causes depression. Depression causes, you know, sometimes a drug addiction or the will to not do anything. I've seen a lot of people fall off after their mothers and fathers die. Lots of people fell off after their loved one has passed away. Think about why they really homeless, y'all. I mean, I just encourage you on today because it really bothered me seeing that lady in that position. It really bothered me seeing a homeless man in that position, even my son. We got to teach. And, you know, a lot of times we get aggravated like, ugh, get away from me. Knock it off. We curse them out and carrying on because they begging. And we'll go back home and give the money to the person, the man or a woman that ain't did nothing. They might as well be a bum. When you left, they was in the house on the couch. When you came back, they was in the house on the couch. Are you serious? They leeching off you. And they ain't trying to do nothing. They ain't even trying to ask nobody for no money. So here you are, looking at them sideways, getting an attitude with them, because they asking you for help, for money, because they homeless. And go home and chill out with the bum that's at your house. The person be like, oh, I'm not going to work for McDonald's. You ain't got no job. Oh, I won't work for Burger King. I ain't working for no 7 cents or $8.50 an hour. It's a report. I'm looking at this homeless thing because they closed down 15 more homeless shelters in New York. Some places don't even have homeless shelters for the homeless. They depend on the YMCAs. And they closed down 15 more shelters. Those 15 shelters, the 15 shelters gave residence to 2,500 homeless people. 2,500 homeless people, y'all. And that could be your family. Your family. Think about it, y'all. It could be your family that's out there. And I know we don't want to, you know, bring negative things into our homes and around our children or whatever the case may be. And that's fine. That's very smart of you to do so. But if you won't bring them into your home, do me a favor and find them somewhere where they can go. It ain't gonna hurt you to look. You be on your cell phone all the time, any daggone way. Seeing what it is nonsense, texting and carrying on. You know you can't look up a homeless shelters in the area. We got these G5 phones, G4 phones, G1, whatever. G5 ain't came out yet. It's G4. But we got these phones. We can help them. I want y'all to call in at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. And give me your opinion on the situation right here. It's very important. If we don't have to have homeless people. Even if you know, you don't have a lot of homeless people. Excuse me, in your neighborhood. If you see somebody begging, help them. See why they begging. See what's going on with them. Yes, get into their business. Because if it was somebody close to you, a family or friend that you knew, you would get into their business and try to help them out. But being that they ain't close to you, it's like, oh, whatever. That's their stuff. I ain't going to give them no money. You ain't really got to give them no money, but the help is inevitable. They need that. Some of them, you know, got mental problems. They don't know how to go and get their self-help. And I know this for sure. I love the fact that God gave me a loving heart, and even with my son. We got to teach the kids as well, too, y'all. Because it don't stop with us. The kids is watching everything that we do. Lead by example. Lead by example. You don't want to be caught up, and then when it's time for you to, when you go before your maker, and God tell you, oh, you don't have a pure heart. Your heart wasn't pure at all. It was some of the things that you did, you know, you didn't want for my people what I wanted for my people. You got to, if you really say you love the Lord and you really say God knows my heart, you're going to want for his people what he wanted for his people. If you don't know what God wants for his people, step your game up and get you a personal Bible. Solomon, prime example. Solomon, my boy, man. Shout out to Solomon. King Solomon asked God for a discerning heart to judge his people and so that he would be able to distinguish between right and wrong. Solomon was humble and his heart was pure. And because he desired for his people what God desired, God told him, in addition to what he asked for, he will also receive what he didn't ask for. He will be given riches and honor as well as a wise and understanding heart. What a gracious God we serve, y'all. Imagine what God would do for us without our asking, if our hearts is in tune with him, if our hearts are turned towards the Lord. Look at Solomon. Solomon, you know, he asked God for a discerning heart to be able to judge his people, to distinguish between right and wrong, not with his own personal thing going on, not with his own personal feelings like, oh, my God, what is that smell? You don't have to ask what it is because you know what it is. They don't have showers and bathrooms. They've been walking and talking the streets all night, let's be for real. The homeless need our help. If you in a position to help, help, y'all. If you can't help financially, find somewhere for them to go. Get on your phone. You will go ahead and look up on your internet service where the movie's at, where the restaurant at, with stuff that you got to take care of. Look for a homeless shelter for them and call them right there. Get the number, call it, and say, well, before you start calling people up, and looking out for this person, you want to ask them a few questions like, you know, how you doing today? And, you know, do you have a place to live? Did you eat today? Do you have any family? Do you know how to get in contact with them? Do they know where you are? Their family could be in a whole nother state. They probably came over here to change their life, and their luck is bad. They just doing bad. And you can tell, you know, if they got a habit or whatever the case may be, you can let them know, I got somewhere that's going to help you. It's going to hook you up. But you got to get real with it. You got to get honest with it. At any given time, you know, even right now, even though I'm in Washington, I still got services in Jersey that's right at the top of my head. Boom. I'm educating myself on the services over here that they have for domestic violence victims. And it's just we talking about the people in need, period. Low income, undereducated, domestic violence victims, homeless people, drug addicts, depression, people that's grieving, people with anger management. Use yourself as a tool to help others. You know how to, you know, help somebody, hook somebody up with going to the beauty supply store or going to go get some fresh kicks or some nice clothes, some good eats. Extend your service. Know where your local Social Security office is. Know where your local welfare office is. Know where your local YMCA and your YMCA, and the Red Cross. They are dedicated to this. Help them out. Because be clear, it can be you. I ain't say you gotta, you know, you may be passing a lot of homeless people. You can't help them all, but you can help somebody. But get deep down in conversation to them and ask them what is it that they need help with. If they say they're hungry, that's fine. Go take them with you to the nearest store. Get them a poppy sandwich. That's $2.50, $3. Are you serious? Give something off the dollar menu. Feed them. These are God's people. These are God's children. You God's child. Just because they're homeless and down and about and they got some issues or some problems don't mean that God don't still love them. Who are you to judge? How could you point your finger at them and there's three fingers pointing back at you? And I promise you, they're going to get the, God gets the victory at the end of the day. But they're going to be thankful that you reach out and extended to help them. There's too many people dying because they're homeless, dying from starvation, dying from freezing to death, the weather conditions. First thing we say, they'd be like, sister, can you help me out with something to eat or whatever the case may be? And could you help me out with a couple of dollars, whatever? I got kids. Can you help me with a dollar? And I'm guilty of that, getting frustrated. Because I'm having a jacked up day, or I'm mad because I ain't got an extra more dollars to get that front lace that I wanted. Or get my son them boots and shoes that I wanted to get him. When he already got enough, and I got a dozen front laces. Come on now. I had to turn around and first of all, check my attitude and get some gratitude and apologize to that man. I said, well, come on, sir. What do you want to eat? And then I asked him, you mind if I sit down and have some lunch with you? He told me all about himself, all about his family, how he got to where he got to. I told him it's going to be all right. See, God still loves you. He still provides the way for you. Still eat each and every day. And I'm blessed to be in your company right now. And we prayed together. After I extended my heart to him, the smell didn't bother me no more. After I extended my heart and my compassion to him, he didn't look like a homeless person to me no more. He looked like me. He looked like he was just down and out on his luck. He was a very articulate person. He talked very well. But you can tell that the trials and tribulations of life had tore him down, man. Even to all my homeless people out there, or if you're going through some situations, you living with somebody, you down on your luck, this is not the end of the road for you. Don't start getting down on yourself. Don't start eating that cake at the pity party. Don't start throwing the pity party. See, this is a test. This is to make you stronger. No weapons formed against you shall not prosper, shall not work. Keep saying that. No weapons formed against me shall not prosper, shall not work. This is a season. And you're going to get your second chance, I promise you. You're getting your second chance because now you know the mistake that you won't make again. You know where you messed up at. You know what road you turned down the wrong way. You know what choices that you made that got you where you at. It's time to rise and get up. You don't have time for pity parties. You ain't got time to be down and depressed. Whatever happened, happened. It's time to move on. That person that died, they gone. But what are you going to do today? You think they want you to live in sorrow? You think they want, you want them to see you go through sorrow, pain, hurting yourself, tearing your body down? Tearing, you think God want to see you tear his temple down that he gave to you? I encourage you on today. God still loves you. I love you. We all love you, and we believe in you. Just because you hit a little bump, we all hit bumps. You think you're the only one that's going through? You think you're the only one that lost your job? that been homeless, got your kids taken away from you, they got jumped, hurt, whatever the situation is, you got to rise above. God planted where you planted you wherever you at so you can grow. Now it's time for you to take advantage of your second chance. It's your girl, Diva Mary Kay. You're now tuned in live to Diva Spot Radio, ENT. We getting our spiritual feeding on because we ain't got time for no weak spirits. It's too cold outside. You got to get your spirit all healthy and up. Call me up at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. And check in with me live on the live chat at www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/DivaSpotENT. We're about to get it in, man. And know that your second chance is coming. It's already there. Thank you, Laura, for the second chance. What's up, y'all? You're now tuned in live to Diva Spot Radio, ENT. We getting our spiritual feeding on, and I love that song, A Second Chance. There ain't nothing like if you're going through some issues right now, well, even if you just joyful in your spirit, let's thank God on today that we got a second chance. Every day that you get is a second chance to live by the will of God. No matter what you went through, no matter what somebody tried to do to you, no matter what hurt you, no matter what it is, each and every day is a second chance for you to get better, y'all. Get better. I'm a witness, and I'm going to tell y'all something. When you start to heal from past pains, broken hearts, relationships, jobs that just laid you off, people that did you dirty. When you start to heal and you get quiet with the Lord and you get your stuff together, right when everything is going coochie crunch, let me tell you something. Those past pains, hurts, dramas, rumors, situations is going to come back in front of you. But what you got to do on today is you got to bear the banner of the blood, man. You got to remember that I'm better now, so I don't have to go back there. I don't have to be there with you no more. You know, I don't have to hurt and let you lie to me no more. Because that's what it'll be about at the end of the day. For real. That's all it is at the end of the day. Let's think about it. You caught up on what somebody did to you or what somebody hurt you. You feel in some type of way. And, you know, now you, and especially in relationships, when we love somebody, it's just so hard for us to let go at the end of the day. It's so hard for us to let go. Oh, you know, and we get over one person, but we can't get over the person that hurt us the most. We want to help them out. The people that hurt us the most align to us. We want to help them out because of some feelings. Excuse me if I sound dry. We want to help the people out that hurt us the most, man, but we don't want to help the people out that's hurting. I encourage you on today to knock that off. Help those that really can't help themselves. Reach out to those who really can't help themselves. Help them get back right. Not the person, whether it's your son, your daughter, your cousin, your spouse, your man, your wife. They ain't helping themselves. They acting like they trying to help themselves, but they not. I encourage you on a day to help those who trying to get somewhere, who out there begging, who out there homeless. That's such a sad story. That Kima, my sister, called in today and was talking about the story about, you know, this man in New York, a homeless man. This lady was being robbed, and he interfered. He was her intercessor. He didn't even know that lady, but he intercessed in the midst of the robbery, got the lady pocketbook back, and he was stabbed. He was stabbed by the person that was robbing her. And what happened was they end up leaving him in the street, and he bled to death. He bled to death, y'all. He gave his life trying to save somebody else. I say God bless that man. God bless that situation. Think about all the times that he had been robbed and the stuff that he was going through. Are you a friend or a foe? You see people begging it down and out, automatically we'd be like, ow. They just going to go and get high with it anyway. They just going to go and get drunk with it anyway. You don't know what they're going to go do with that. And if you more concerned if they asking for something to eat, and if you so concerned about your little dollar or two being drunk or smoked up, do them a favor and buy them some food. If they don't accept it, then they ain't hungry. Point blank, period. You can ask them, you know, switch if they say, oh, well, I needed some money to get home or whatever the case may be. Well, where you going? Where you live at? And if they say such and such and such, I live here, you know, I live over in Paseka, whatever the case may be. Oh, I'm going that way too. What bus you got to catch? What bus you catching? I know you don't want your money to go to waste or whatever at the same time, but give, y'all, because it could be a test from the Lord. The Lord could be testing you. The Lord could be testing you. You never know when you be testing. He want to see if you really desire for his people what he desire for his people. You can't say you love the Lord if you don't love his people, in spite of. Pray over them. Stay with them. Love them. Encourage them. This is what we're talking about today. We're talking about properly communicating. We've been talking about communicating all week, and it's TGF Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Thank God that you made it to this day. Thank God that you woke up this morning. Be thankful and grateful. Don't be acting all bougie, sadity. and it's kind of funny that I say this because real talk, people get their checks on Friday, they monthly, whatever the case may be, and they become brand new. Do you know how hard it was for that person to ask you for $1.50? That could be you. We ain't in a stable economy no more. Everybody is all walking on you know, eggshells around here. I encourage you to help on today. Try to, you know, hey, oh, you can do it by, you ain't got to necessarily go out looking in the streets for homeless people. You can go to homeless shelters. You can go to the soup kitchen. And that's what I encourage y'all to do on today, man, the proper way to communicate. You know, in our busy lives, which with so much commotion and chaos, you know, putting kindness first is a challenge, man. It is, but we must keep our eyes and our ears open and be ready to hear what's being asked of us. The homeless woman, you know, she reminded me that even if I'm in the midst of lean times, you know, it's all related. It's all related. My bad may be somebody's bounty. You know what I'm saying? My bad times can be somebody else's bounty, man. Being aware of everyone around you, witnessing their trials and, you know, tribulations and offering a helping hand. Let them know that, you know, praise God. No one walks alone. Let them know they're not alone. Praise the Lord with them. Let them know they're not walking alone. Even if you don't have no money, you can offer them the word in prayer. And that is, I mean, that's the most valuable thing that you can honestly give somebody. I'm going to give you all a little assignment today, man. Do yourself a favor and just find an activity in your community, you know, that will enrich the lives of others. You know, you start a church group to teach children dance or schedule visits with the elderly, or you can even offer somebody transportation to the church event. Join a group. Join a group that delivers meals and to the sick and to the frail. Meals on Wheels. You can volunteer at a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter. Just find a way to improve the quality of life for the poor in your community, y'all. And take your children with you and teach them to do the same. Let me tell y'all something. One person at a time, we can make a difference. And we should be leading, you know, leading the change. It's so important that we lead the change because we all got a second chance. All of us, no matter what position that we're in right now, we all of us got a second chance. Y'all ain't going to tell me that y'all didn't get a second chance. You're not going to tell me that you got to where you at or you have what you have because you did it on your own will. I let God know I praise you. I love you, Lord, and I'm still here. I'm still here. I thank you for sending me through my trials and tribulations. All my stuff that I went through, Lord, Father God, I thank you for that. I'm still here, Lord. I'm still here praising your name, Lord. I'm still here working to do your will. I have not been perfect, Lord, but I'm still here fighting. I'm a warrior to do your will. I know that we get these trials and tribulations each and every day. Each and every day we go through some stuff, but it's somebody that's going through some more worse things than us. Are you a friend or a foe? When people come up to you asking you, we write them off as bums, like they ain't nobody, like they just another part of the world of people that we don't even like. Well, who is these people? If somebody always, you always get somebody coming up to you asking you for money, it could be a test. Maybe God is testing you to see if you want for his people what he want for his people, if you desire to help. Give your last dollar because you're really not going, at the end of the day, you really wasn't going to do anything productive with it anyway. But take Solomon as an example. Solomon, that's my boy Solomon. Solomon said, God, I want a discerning heart so I can be able to judge my people, knowing the right from wrong, Lord. Don't start judging people with your own personal feelings, man. I definitely want your opinions on this. Call in at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. It's your girl, Diva Mary Kay. You're now tuning in Diva Spot ENT. We talking about the friend or the foe to the homeless. Let's go ahead and go to the hotlines and open them up. We got 754-224. You live in the building. What's your name and where you calling from?
God bless you, sister. This is Pastor Stephen Amaker. Listen in. I got a scenario with you and your listeners, and then I'm gonna try to tell me and chime to me and tell me how you feel that we should handle this situation. Now, I just introduced, for those who don't know me, I am a pastor. I've recently met a gentleman, and by the way, the gentleman is about 82, 83 years old. He said, are you a pastor? He asked me, we were in the restaurant, he said, what kind of work do you do? I told him, I'm a pastor. And so he says, oh, well, where's the church? So he came a couple of times, and he really, you know, didn't do nothing, you know, as far as participating in the services in any way. Matter of fact, a few times he did come, he was nodding and sleeping, and then I'm like, man, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. Why are you sleeping? Mm-hmm. He's not homeless. Matter of fact, he lives right on the beach. So that's to let you know how good he got. Well, his sister has a house on the beach. So the young man called me one day. He said, I'm trying to give you the whole picture so when I hit you with what I'm going to hit you with, you understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
He called me. He says, I need to go to the VA to see about my medicine. Now, the VA is, I live all the way due east. The VA is all the way due west. So you're talking about maybe about 10 miles west from where we live. And so he says, well, I need, my car won't make it, so I need somebody to take me out there. I'm like, okay, sure, I'll take you. The first time, you know, I didn't do it. I was doing it out of the goodness of my heart, I thought. And so, well, I took him out there. He bought lunch. I'm like, well, okay, that ain't bad, you know. So, a couple more times he called me. I need you. And I started noticing, he don't call me, or he don't want nothing, or he don't come around until he needs me to do something. So just recently, two weeks ago, he called me. He says, "Preacher, I need you. I gotta go to the VA. They got my medicine all messed up. And I haven't heard from him about 3 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And now you just jump up and preach. I need you. You left a message on my answer machine." And I'm like, he said, "Well, I need to go out there. I'll pay you." Wait, go back for a minute. I had did so many things for him. Then finally one day he came up, he gave me $50. 2 days after he gave me the $50, he called me back. He said, "Preacher, I need to borrow $50 from you." What did I say? I did all this stuff for him. He finally come up and give me a little token. And then 2 days later, he called me back, talking about he needed back. And so I'm like, nah, this is something else. So now, like I said, I haven't heard from him about 2 months or so. And then the other week, he called me. He says, "Preacher, I need to go out here. They got my medicine." He's a smoker. He's 82, so his lungs are shot. So what he needs is an inhaler, so that he can halfway breathe. So I understand that. So I took him. He said, I call him back. I said, "Well, look, meet me. I'll take you out there." Now watch what he says to me now. Before he call me, I'll pay you this time, because you know how he's been doing me bad and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Well, I'll pay you. I guess that's an incentive for me to do what I did." But so then I went, I did it. I took him out there, brought him back. He says to me, I said, "Didn't you tell me you were going to look out for me?" "Oh, yeah. I said when I get my check.
Mm.
Wait a minute. You didn't say that on the message. You tell me now I'm a wait till I get my check on the 3rd. Well, it's like, well, why you didn't call me when you didn't tell me this before I took you out there? See, but then he tried to play me. And then I thought about, I said, our Lord really showed me what this man's intention was. So now on the 3rd, I was parked at a place, and he seen my car. Do you know it's coming in? Matter of fact, it's the 3rd. You didn't call me and say, "Well, preacher, come in and let me hit you off or something." But then you call. You didn't. When you see my car, and you come into where you see my car, and see you coming in and saying anything to me, you can't ride. Now tell me, how should I handle this? The next time or whatever. Or should I just say, "Hey, I'm not doing nothing for nobody else ever again because of the way he treated
me?" I definitely want to get your opinions on that. Call in at 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. And also chime in live with us on a live chat at www.blogtalkradio.com/D with Spot ENT. Now, Pastor, I can definitely understand what you're saying with that story, because I have had my own family do this to me. You constantly give and give and give and give of yourself, and you get to the point like, look, I can only do about so much. You only call me when you want something and when you need something.
Mm-hmm.
And when you need me to help you and get you out of the situation. But what I would say is, and when I say those words, that's the same thing we do to the Lord. Are you a friend or a foe?
Uh-oh.
You call on him when you want something when you need something, when you're in trouble, when you'd have got yourself into trouble? What would you want the Lord to do for you?
Mm-hmm.
You got to start putting in some work. Now, with that person, honestly, I would feed them with a long spoon. Now, if he knows that he needs his medicine or whatever the case may be, I would suggest to him that, you know, you get you a supply or full supply. And being that he, I don't know if he's a veteran or not or whatever the case may be, but I know that he's old enough, he gets Medicaid. No matter what state that you're in, they have a transportation service that will come and pick them up at their home, take them to their appointments or wherever they got to go, and bring them back. All he has to do is call within 24 to 48 hours. He has to call and make an appointment. See, this is how we can, and a lot of times, you know, even with, you know, the pastor going back and forth and taking him back and forth, he only called on him when he need him. Now the pastor can assist him by saying, oh, you get Medicaid or Medicare, don't you? Yes. Well, here is a number where you can call. Did you know that they will come and pick you up and take you back and forth? If he's looking to pay somebody anyway, why not let his insurance, which is already covered, pay for it anyway? He's a senior citizen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and still at the same time, he gets the services that he needs. And not only that, I know you're going to pray over him, and he gets a prayer and a blessing. But,
now, but
we don't.
I receive that, and I thank you. I really do, sis, for taking me off with that information. But when you were saying that, see, he is very short patience.
Mm-hmm.
He want to walk in the VA office at 10 o'clock. He want to be out by 10:05. And so I've seen those services. They don't sit there and wait for you. You got to wait. So that will be an all-day thing of him first getting there and then waiting for someone to come back and pick him up. So I'm going to suggest that only because I want him to see, like you said, okay, they're going to bring you, but they're not going to be there. They're not going to stay there and wait for you. So you have to wait for them to come back and get you, which is going to be 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, after you get out there at 9 o'clock in the morning. But then, too, I'm going to suggest it. Thank you so much. I didn't even think about that. I wasn't even thinking about that. But if I ever receive this call again, because you know, I'm like, I know. And see, the thing that really got me is that he knew what he was doing. But then after I've done what I promised to do, now he's trying to play me. Oh, I said I was gonna hit you when I get my check.
Mm-hmm.
But today is the 27th, the 28th. Your check don't come until the 3rd. Why you didn't call me on the 3rd?
Mm-hmm. Why you ain't called me on the 3rd? And they think, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, when you first started off helping him, you did it out of the kindness of your heart. You did it because you wanted to help him. You wanted him to get the services that he needs.
But not to cut you off, I'm sorry, but I want everybody to understand, I'm a pastor. He's not a member of my church. He don't do anything for the ministry. He don't care. When he comes to services, he don't never have money. When he comes to services, you don't participate. You're not faithful to church. You're not anything. But yet you want me to stop what you're doing because I am a pastor. So since you are a pastor, you're supposed to care for the whole community when we need help. But yet we don't call God, but only when we need him, and not give him worship, give him praise when everything is going smooth. But when we need God, now, so when I need the church, now I'm going to call the man of God. When I need something to be done, I need a handout, I need some help, And that's the thin line that we got to, you know, we don't kill ourselves for those who don't really want God but want to use God. But those that need assistance, need help, then we are our brother's keeper.
And you're right about that. When we need, we are our brother's keeper. And I do have a question. Because, you know, a lot of people just use the church for what they can get and keep it moving. And, you know, God says that we supposed to love in spite of and regardless. We supposed to love, you know, just period. We just supposed to love and give of unlimitedly. And I can understand that. I definitely can understand that. But when it gets to the point that this person is obviously doing feed the community or help the community. I was, we was talking about community, and I was like, the church can be the after-school program. Mm-hmm. You know, it was talking about helping us, commitment to the community. There it is, commitment to the community. I did a segment on commitment to the community, and we're talking about, you know, the church can be the after-school program. You want to talk to the person that's the head of your ministry or whatever, because all the after-school programs are being took out of the schools. But in the midst of, I was saying, if you can send your child to that church for the after-school program, then you can attend that church. The church is not a daycare. The church is extending, you know, itself as a service to you. That's why they call it service. This is service to you. But if you can send your child to the church, because, you know, and the most likely after school program is only going to be there until like 5 or 6, maybe the latest 7. It's a good thing that your child is getting their homework in and getting the homework of them learning about the Lord as well. But if you can send your child to that church, you can attend that church, attend services, and feed your spirit, feed your child's spirit, get education of the Lord of Christ. Know who he is. Know what your purpose is. Get some peace within yourself. I really frown upon when people come to the church just for the pantry. When people come to the church just for Christmas and Thanksgiving. When people come to, you know, to take communion and be swiggling and wiggling. I can't stand for people to fall asleep in church.
That's it.
That's just my personal opinion. I know you're not supposed to eat in the sanctuary, you know, and you're not supposed to do that. But take some time. If you're going to be late anyway to church, take some time and go to the back and sip you some coffee to get yourself. You can still hear the word while you're in the back.
Mm-hmm.
It's rumbling through the church. You can hear it, but going to sleep in church I think is very disrespectful to the pastor, the minister. Excuse me, the minister.
To everybody.
To
God.
Everybody.
To God.
You
because,
in his house.
And, yeah, you know, and sometimes my granddaughter, she used to do that. And I tell my wife, I say, but watch Saturday. She don't go to sleep at 12 o'clock. Now, that was a normal nap time, and she was in this, you know, routine that, okay, 12 o'clock, I'm gonna take a nap. No, but when you're in church, you got to sleep. And that's what grown folks do. Grown people, they don't go to sleep at 12 o'clock in the day. They're moving, they're gone. They're out, they're doing it. But now on the time of church, you want to sit there and nod and whatever. And the problem with that is, that something is being said that the devil don't want you to hear. Because if you hear it, then that's your deliverance. That's your freedom. And so he'll rock you to sleep, and have you nod and sleep in the church so that you don't hear the word of God. That's why we come to church, to hear the word of God. I like what you said about that, about, you know, just talking. And so, and what about the community center? I love the community work and what have you, but then what you said. Then when you get up as a pastor and say, okay, well, you're not a member of this church. We're not going to allow your child to come to the, oh, he wrong. You wrong. We're in a community. But then, like you said, on Sunday, Bible study night, midweek services, you will not bring your child. You will not come to, and the church is babysitting your child. And all I don't ask you for no money. All I ask you to do is come and attend the services. You should be in the center. You tell your child to go stay at the church until I get off from work. So now the church is your babysitter for the next 3.5 hours, 4 hours, until you get there to pick up your child. And, but you will not even get up on Sunday morning. I sis, you got me with that. I'm gonna pay close attention to that because that's a good one. You know,
and
we
like,
open our door. Go ahead.
I like what you said about Pastor. I like what you said about, you know, they won't get up and go to church. I honestly feel like if you can send your child, and, you know, and it's just reaching out to people. And shout out to the 347 Live in the building. We're talking about, you know, the church, the services that the church offers. You know, it's churches out there and are, you know, even when we were talking about the homeless, even when the homeless come into the church. First of all, I'm going to say this. Church folks can be the worst folks sometimes. And that's just real. That's just real. But if somebody comes into the church, you're supposed to accept them as they are. But when I was talking about staying committed to the community, I was making a point that the church can be the after-school program. If there's no after-school programs available for your children after school for them to get help with their homework and stuff like that, and you get off at 3, you're taking public transportation or you're driving, you don't get home until 5 or you don't get into 7, you can speak to somebody in your church. But what the pastor was saying is, you know, and what I was saying first is you can send your child to the church, go to the church, stay at the church until I get off of work to come and pick you up. This is Monday through Friday. These kids is going through to this church. But come Sunday, you don't show up. You nor maybe the kids to show up, or you nor the kids show up to partake in services. And what the pastor was saying is, you know, if you're not a member of the church, we sorry that your kids cannot attend this after school program. And the people, the community will say, "Oh, Pastor, you wrong. Y'all supposed to accept anybody. Y'all supposed to support the community." But guess what? The community is supposed to support the church. Point blank, period. The church is supposed to support the community, and the community is supposed to support the church. This is a relationship. It's a two-way street. Yes, the church is very giving. The church open their doors up to anybody. Anybody. So anybody should open their doors up and go to the church. Take a look at your blocks right now. For every liquor store and poppy store that's on that corner block, it's a church. Every block you walk, do you realize that in your neighborhood? Look at it. Look, when you're walking down the street today, for every store, for every block, there's a church. But if it's 10 blocks, there's 7 churches. Don't you realize, and those churches been there for years, is it not, you know, does it not dawn on you that, dang, we in a recession, it's such and such and such, but these churches stay open. You want to know why? Because a lot of those churches are covered with the blood. Those churches are in service. That is God right there waiting on you to come in and give yourself and give your children and for y'all to educate yourself. The church don't ask you, the church don't charge you to come into the church and have a good time. The club do, but the church don't.
The movies do. The movies do.
You'll get nothing but a movie that you may not like.
Come on. But everywhere you go charges you.
Everywhere.
And then the church, come on. Nobody lets you go. Please tell me what restaurant let you come in and eat free, so I can go. I'm hungry now, so I'm getting ready to go to lunch. Tell me what restaurant lets you come and sit there and eat and nod and sleep, and then get up and walk out and don't pay for nothing.
I just heard something, Pastor. I don't know where it came from, but somebody just said, "Well, the church do charge you. You got to pay your tithes." Oh, pause, press the pause button right there. Stop it and knock it off. See, those tithes, they ask you for an offering. See, you have a choice to give the offering. God asks you for 10% of your blessings, of the stuff. How is it that God gave you a blessing, only he gave you the blessing? Just like, you know, God gave the blessing, all he asked you is for 10% of what he already gave you. And whatever you got in your pocket or your pocketbook or your wallet right now, take it out. Take the time to do the math and 10% of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually a few dollars. Your few dollars ain't really, your few dollars is contributing to the church, but it ain't helping the church stay open and alive, baby. Let's be
clear. Come on. Your $10
it ain't helping the church keep them doors open. It ain't helping, you know, the heat. The church got to pay, too. I know it's somewhat of a tax write-off or whatever the case may be, but let me tell y'all something. The church has to pay for the electricity bill. The church got
to
pay for the heat. The church got to pay for the water. The church got to pay for the whole building situation. The church got to pay for the repairs, their insurance on the church. That church van that come pick you up, it don't run on air. It don't run on your prayers. It don't run on you because you came to church. It take gas. I'm just saying within the church because I seen my own pastor go through it. My Oliver Baptist Church located in Newark, New Jersey, Pastor Andre Miltier. You know, the church is going through some financial situations, but it's so wonderful that he held on, y'all. He is still holding on and teaching and preaching the word of God and keeping these services open. Not only do they offer a church service, they offer a recovery program. They got the recovery, the NA and the AA, they come in at night and they do their thing there. They got bridging the gap for your own personal situations for you to come and talk with people in the midst of the Lord in the church. They got the youth ministry. All this stuff costs. It costs, but being that his faith is stronger than his will, God continue to keep those doors open, continue to keep those programs available and working, continuing to bless my pastor. He come all the way from Plainfield, New Jersey to Newark, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
All the way from Plainfield to Newark. These pastors come out. It's probably like an hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
And he show up to the church. He show up to be able to feed your souls and your spirits after you done just came from the club last night making it so-called rain, dropping it like it's hot. He not worried about your physical. Go ahead.
You just said something. And this is another problem. I'm not saying all pastors.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying all pastors are in this situation, but a lot of them are. When you see that pastor, watch this, like what you just said, when you see a pastor has done all that they can do to serve the community, serve that church, and the Lord says, okay, brother, sister, I'm going to reward you with some earthly things, meaning such, I'm going to reward you with a new car. I'm going to reward you with a new house because what you have done for my people and how you have ministered to my Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unrighteous that he would forget your labor of love that you minister and do minister. In other words, God is not going to forget. He's going to reward us for some of the things that we're doing as men and women of God. So then when the Lord blesses you with a new car, he blesses the church, the man of God, with the woman of God, with a new house. Look at that. See, that's why I'm not giving to that church, because I'm not paying for him to ride up and down the street in no new car. I'm not paying for him to ride. Your $10, your $5 is not going to buy a new car. Your $10 is not going to pay my house note. But then when the Lord rewards us, then we want to talk about the person. See that? He's robbing from the church. Come on, man. The reality is the church can't afford what I'm doing. The church can't afford how I'm living. But because I have sacrificed and did things,
tell
him, Pastor.
Tell him. Tell him. And you know what? I have to giggle about that because a lot of times we do say that. Oh, the pastor got a new house. The pastor got a new car. The pastor got Gatorzor. The pastor got a three-piece suit. He's sharper than a tack. But do y'all know what the pastor sacrificed to get there? And you know
Come
what?
On.
I have to say this too. The pastors sacrifice a lot. Not just personal. I mean, not just professional, but personal too, y'all. The pastor life, the pastor is a servant. He is a tool. He is there to preach and teach the word of God. He is there to help you, but he is a servant of God. He's doing God's will. And if you haven't gotten into getting to the point or you don't know what you have to sacrifice to do God's will, don't be mad at that man. They be preparing those sermons for y'all, be preparing the word, letting God use them, sometimes they be in meditation in a quiet space with the Lord for hours, prepare a good word, they teach on it, they looked at it, they made sure they made good points, they made sure that the Lord was in it, they made sure that it could relate to what's going on right now, that it's going to reach the people. And get up there, and God put a whole new sermon in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that they wrote down, everything that they put together, God said, okay, but that's not what I want you to preach and teach today. Scratch
there
that
go.
For another day.
There you go.
I got to put something on your heart today. Something different happened in the church with somebody else and some other people that I want you to touch it and go on. And they have to let God use them as a spirit, sacrificing themselves. Let's talk about the relationships. A lot of pastors, you know, they have wives or they single. But even with them being a pastor, you have to have a woman of God. And it's hard. Man, it's so hard. Y'all think it's hard to find a mate. Try being a deacon, a pastor, a deaconess, and, you know, you in a relationship with somebody, and they have to walk the straight and narrow with the Lord. They have to love the Lord, know the word of God, understand the word of God, have a whole heart, have an understanding heart, go to God for everything. Somebody who loves God like you, yeah, right. That's why a lot of them, you know, a lot of their time they don't really have personal lives. They can't really get caught up a lot of times with your mess because they got their own personal
mess. Mute me for a second, please, sis.
Mm-hmm.
Mute me for a second. You take this call right quick.
Okay. But God is definitely, definitely so good. So good. I'm glad the pastor called in and share because a lot of times people will use us. They will use you, but are they using you in a good way? Even the pastor is being used. The pastor called in and was like, look, this man is constantly asking me. He only called me when he wants something. And we do the same thing to the Lord. We only call the Lord when we want something. But what is you giving out to the Lord on today? What are you giving out to the churches on today? How are you helping your community? How are you helping the homeless? And I have to say to the churches right now, all the churches that's listening, and all the people that go to church, if you see somebody come in the church, and, you know, they not all dappered and dressed up and all in their Sunday's best like y'all, don't turn them away. Don't frown your face up at them. Because, you know, and even with, you know, with the elders, I got to say this to the elders, because a lot of times y'all know how to make people feel uncomfortable. Word up. Y'all know how to make us feel all messed up and jacked up with y'all own personal opinions. And I know y'all mean well and y'all trying to help us out, but encourage us. Encourage us. Most likely when we came to the church, we lost. That's why we came here, because we lost and we down, and we don't know where to go, and we set up, and we ready to turn our life over. We ready to get somewhere. Welcome us with open arms. Whether we come in with baggy jeans, with tight dresses, or whatever the case may be, that's the most important time for y'all to get with us and love on us and mold us, because we unmolded clay now. Mold us into the woman of God. Mold us into the man of God. You know, it's good that, you know, we supposed to stand for correction. But coming from the world and to the from the worldly things to the holy things, it's kind of hard for some of us to make that transition. And if you look at me up and down, and if you whisper in church, folks, peanut galleries, gospel giddies, knock it off. When you see somebody coming in, even if they look like a bum or like a homeless person or they addicted, welcome them. Good morning, brother and sister. I'm glad to see you today. How you doing? What's going on with you? What's your name? My name is such and such. We are here to help with anything that you need. And then start talking about the services that the church offers. Don't go in to say, oh, girl, you know, I'm glad you're here, but, you know, cuff yourself up. You know, there's men of God in here. Are you serious? She know that it's men of God in there. Wait, how you know that they ain't the only dress she got? How you know she ain't just come from being beat down, raped, done dirty, and that was the only dress that she had? She don't know how to dress when she come there. She coming from the world, or him coming in, baggy jeans on. You know, he don't know what a three-piece suit is. He don't even know what measurements is. Welcome them. Welcome them. Greet them with smiling faces. Because remember, a saint is just a sinner who fell down. It's your girl, Diva Mary Kay. You're now live in the building with Diva Spot Radio ENT. Remember, a saint is just a sinner who fell down, man. It come, Donnie McCurkin said it very well. When you see them brothers and them sisters coming in, a lot of them don't know what a three-piece suit is. He don't know how to measure himself. He used to dress in a certain way. But you let him know, first of all, God says come as you are. Not come on a fashion show. This is not a fashion show. We only came there for one word. And for the people that's going into the church and they's getting those side eyes and they getting eyeballed or whatever the case may be and they feeling uncomfortable, no, you only went there for the word. You only went there to get the word of God. You didn't go there to get caught up with the pastor. You didn't go there to get caught up with the people in the church. The only thing that you came for is the word.
Right.
That is to preach. Yeah. That's a pastor job, to preach and teach the word of God. Don't worry about his car, his house, the people in the church. And a lot of times we get into church and we feel like, oh, the pastor not recognizing what I'm doing. I volunteer all my time here. I'm in the kitchen, this and that, and he don't recognize me. What? You're not going there to get recognition from the pastor. You want to get recognition from the Lord.
That's it.
He ain't got to give you a medal or stop the service or make you a big part. Listen, you want to, and a lot of times I'm so, God, move me, Lord, move me. Move me, Lord. We be up in these churches wanting the whole church to see us. Oh, she dedicated. She come. She pay her tithe. She give her last. Blah, 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 blah. We do. You didn't, the recognition, first of all, you doing all that so God can get the victory. That's who should be getting the victory. That's who you should be focusing on. Why are you mad because your name is not in the program of the church, and you know you put in. You're going to get your recognition anyway, because I'm going to tell you something. God going to move on you and do some beautiful things. It may be inside the church. It may be outside the church. But thank God that you have your good mental state and good health to do and help out the church. That's the house of God. That ain't the house of the pastor, people.
That's it.
That is the house of God. It's not the house of the pastor. That's not the pastor's house. Yeah, he be there a lot, but that's not where he lives.
Okay.
Oh, man, I had to say that. I had to say that because, and if you're having an issue at your church, and a lot of times, sometimes we feel like our pastor or our deaconess has singled us out because we ain't been to the church in a while. And they put you on blast. Put you on blast. Oh, I'm glad to see Sister Ebony in the building today. We ain't seen you in a while, but we're glad to have you here. Stand for correction. Be thankful because they really is glad to see you. But stand for correction. And it's the truth. They have not seen you in a while. And I say this to the pastors and the deaconess, you know, be careful because some people will run up out of there. You may not have to say it, you know, in the middle of church on the loudspeaker, everybody looking at them. Yeah, I hear you, Pastor.
You know, that could be avoided.
Yeah.
That could be avoided. Yes, I'm sorry, Pastor, sorry, church. See, the old church, back in the day, it was church policy. If you're not going to be in church this week, it was church policy that you call someone, if not the pastor, call someone in the church and say, listen, I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be able to be here this week. So let the church know that, well, I have to work this weekend. I got a family issue I got to take care of. We're going out of town. And see, with people today, they don't call nobody and say anything. And then you get mad because, like you said, they put you on blast. Well, we haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. We haven't heard anything from you. We haven't, you know, we don't know what's going on. Well, y'all should have called me. Well, your phone works both ways. You could have called me and said the same thing. You could have called me and told me that, you know, we wasn't going to be here. And so, like you said, we're glad that you're here, but we don't know what happened. And so when you make communication with the church, then instead of me saying, well, Sister Anthony, we didn't see you in church. All right, church, we're going to stop right now. We're going to pray for Sister Anthony because she just came through a situation. She just came through a family situation this year. And we're going to pray her strength. We're going to pray, you know. So there's always but we're so bad, sis, because a lot of people are always coming looking for the negative in the church and not looking for the positive and not doing everything that they can do to make sure, look, okay, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. My obligation. Come on, tell me one job you go to and you don't show up for a week and then you go back next week and then they can say, well, okay, we understand. You're not going to work today. Guess what? You're going to call that our job 2 hours before. I won't be in today. I'm sorry. But then when you come to the job and they say, well, you didn't call. You didn't tell nobody. So we had no obligation. We had no right but to fire you. That's why the church was to fire people because of your inconsistency in doing what you're obligated to do. When you join the church, and the pastor asks you, are you willing to abide by and follow the rules of this church? And 99% of the time, they say, yeah, I'm going to follow by. Well, you don't do it. And then you get mad with the church because you have not followed the rules that we put for you to follow as a member.
And the church. I don't mean to laugh, Pastor, but it's the truth. It's the truth. People come to the church and I like how you made that point. Church is given. The church is so given and so free. But just imagine if in some churches now that's having you sign a form, you know, and having you show up to a certain amount of Sunday schools and Bible studies before you become a member of the church. The church does need people consistency. Consistency is very, very important. And if you're not going to come to the church, that's why the church asks you to call in and say, look, I'm not going to be able to make it. I got some family issues. And they're going to pray over you. If you call your job and say, look, I ain't going to be able to make it in because my daughter is such and such sick. I got some family issues. They ain't going to pray over you. Most likely they're going to put that on your folder and it's going to count against you three times. You get rolled up, you get suspended, and then you're fired. Point blank, period. But the church wants you to stay in communication with them so they can be able to pray over anything that may be hindering you from getting the word of the Lord, for you to be in the midst of the Lord and getting your blessings. The pastor ain't trying to put you on blast. When you come into church and say, oh, Sister Ebony, you know, I haven't seen you in a while, you know, and I hope everything is all right. Church, we got Sister Ebony in the house today. Praise the Lord. You put yourself on blast
because we all sitting there looking like, man, where you been? We ain't seen you in a month or Sunday. And then especially when you haven't been to church in so long, when everybody is looking at you and saying, well, all the visitors, please stand up. And everybody's looking at you like, well, aren't you going to stand up? You talking about, I'm a member here. We ain't seen you. We ain't seen you in 6 months. Why are you a member here? That's crazy. That's crazy. Then I want to touch on what you said about the clothing issue.
Okay.
The clothing issue. We practice in our ministry. We practice, you know, people, like you said, people, you're coming out the club, you're coming out the world, you're not used to wearing what we call church clothes, appropriate clothes appropriate for church. So we don't talk about you. We take you shopping, whether it's in the store or somebody's closet. Okay. All the ladies in here who wear 12, please stand. Okay, I got it. Okay, now you see this young lady? She wears a 12. And she wants to come to church because watch the true of this is that, okay, I'll come to church this first time and I see everybody dressed. I want to come back, but I don't want to be looked at because what I'm wearing is inappropriate. And I'm not wearing the same thing everybody else is wearing. So instead of somebody walking up to you and saying, well, see, you can't wear it at the church. That's not appropriate for church. No, we take you to the closet of somebody, or we take you to the soup store or something, and we're going to buy you something so that you can feel comfortable. And now there's no excuse for why you can't come to church. Well, I don't have nothing to wear. We just cleared that excuse. You got a closet full of clothes now that's appropriate for church to wear so that you can be comfortable. That's for men and women. No. Well, hold up. Let me take you to my closet, give you a couple of shirts and a couple of pairs of slacks and a couple of ties so that you can feel like one of us when you come. Because the whole time you're sitting there, the devil is going to be talking to your mind and say, look, you see how she dressed? See what she got on? Now look what you got on. See how she dressed? You know you can't come back here no more because you're not dressed like them. And then, what makes it worse, like you said, some old nosy elder, some old blabbermouth evangelist or mother come over to you, baby, you can't be wearing that. And you got to put that skirt down, and you got to pull close up your button, and you got to pull up. No. Baby, come here. Let me take you shopping. Let me take you to my house, and let's see what I got in the closet. Let me see what we can find that you can wear so that the devil don't attack. See, when you're trying to, when you always saying this, and I love it because you say it, you're always saying that, yeah, we're trying to make a step, but the enemy is always trying to make us not make that step. And he's always bringing up excuses, and the church has to fulfill all this. We got to cover all the holes because there's no excuse. You need a ride, we come pick you up. You need clothes, we take your clothes. You need money, we break you off something, so, you know, so that you and your family or whatever got food or whatever. We'll feed your family. We got a food pantry that you don't have to go. And we're here to help the community. But like you said,
And at the end of that, at the bottom line is the church is of service, but you have to be of service to the church as well. And the pastor just hit it, you know, Pastor Macker just hit it, you know, on the nose. The church will take you shopping. They'll feed you, break you off something, come and get you. They there to help you. They not there to judge you. But you got to, you know, you got to put your stuff to the side to get, you know, some help and to get the blessings that God is trying to give you. It's prayer time, y'all. Y'all know what time it is. I just want to say shout out to everybody that tuned in. Again, Pastor, thank you for coming again and just reinforcing the spirit and the word, and it's just so great. Future Guru 100 is live on the line. It's prayer time.
Oh, hello, Pastor. Hello, Miss Diva Mary Kay Ebony. And I was tuned into the last part of the show. You know, I just got in the house, so I just was able to catch what you guys were saying. And, you know, you guys is bringing a lot of inspiration right now to the world. And I shout out to all your listeners. And I know it's prayer time. That's why I'm on the phone.
Sister Guru 100, I'm going to get you. But God bless you. I understand you just got in the house. The same way you can call the show on your phone at the end of the show, you can call at the beginning. Brother, we love you, though.
Hey,
we love
you. Work. I can't call from work, baby. Can't call from work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't call from work? Well, we're going to let
you go ahead
and tell us why. Go ahead. You got the show now because we just heard an excuse.
All I want to do is say I'm glad to be able to catch the end of this show. I don't want no problems on spiritual feet.
Right.
I don't want to get fired by being on my phone at my job. You already know.
That's all you got to add? Are you
Praise
finished?
Praise the Lord.
Are you finished? Okay.
Happy to be here.
Father God, we just thank you on today, Lord, for you just being with us, Lord, and giving us another day, Lord. Father God, thank you for today, yesterday, and tomorrow, Lord, because without you, I wouldn't have neither one, and we wouldn't have neither one of these days, Lord. Father God, we thank you for being our intercessor at night, Lord, when we was asleep in the most humblest, Lord, where the devil could have came and attacked us, but you didn't let it happen, Lord. Father God, right now, I just ask on today that you open all hearts, minds, bodies, and spirits to the least, the less fortunate, the homeless, Lord. Don't let us turn our back on the people that ask us for help, for food, or something to eat for that day, Lord. Let us extend the 10% that we may have at that time to your people. Let our hearts desire for, give us a heart's desire for the people, what you desire for the people, Lord. Father God, Lord, help us to not sit in judgment. Help us not sit in judgment of others or stand idly by while other folks just talk poorly about people, Lord. Father God, help us to see beyond ourselves so that we may help others. Please open our ears and our hearts to the needs of our community, Lord. Father God, let us see each experience as a way to love you and do your will. Father God, let us to be as considerate of our neighbors as we will hope that they will be considerate of us, Lord. Father God, do not let us pass someone who has fallen without pausing to help them rise up, Lord. Father God, please help. Help us to remember that we can make a difference. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
I thank you all for
amen.
Tuning in. And just being, you know, a tool for God to use you as on today. Y'all make sure y'all stay tuned once again on Mondays. We back at it with the spiritual feeding. It starts at 9 a.m. on the West Coast and 12 p.m. on the East Coast Eastern Standard Time. Again, we going in tonight with Frontline Fridays. We're going to have B-Bonds in the building starting at 6 p.m. West Coast and 9 p.m. East Coast. Again, y'all make sure y'all keep God first, family second, and career third, and he will work all things out. Be blessed.